You're listening to SBS News. At least 1,000 migrant women are to be recruited to contribute to Australia's largest and longest-running study on women's health. They'll be added to the 57,000 Australian women in four age groups who are currently taking part in the study that began in 1996. Funded by the Federal Department of Health, it's a longitudinal study, which means it examines the same women every 3 years. These participants are drawn from four generations: those born between 1921 and 26, 1946 and 1951, 1973 and 78, and 1989 to 1995. The Deputy Director of the Australian Longitudinal Study on Women's Health is Professor Deb Loxton. She's based at the University of Newcastle and the Hunter Medical Research Institute, which jointly managed the study with the University of Queensland.
We first recruited women in 1996, when the makeup of the Australian population was somewhat different to what it is now, 26 years later. So what we're doing is recruiting in 1,000 women, primarily from South, Southeast and Northeast Asian countries, to make sure that that cohort of women who were born 1973 to 78 are representing women from across Australia.
The director of the study, Professor Geeta Mishra from the University of Queensland, says this recruitment will ensure the study accurately reflects the health issues of the current population.
There's about 16% of women from South, Southeast Asia that is in the population. We want to hear from them. We want to know, you know, their health, the state of their health and well-being, so that we can inform government policy and that their needs can be met, you know. So that's where we really need to know a bit more about, you know, factors that are promoting their health and well-being. Also, you know, factors that is causing them to have ill health. We want to be able to understand that so that we can advise the government, policymakers, to take all those factors into account so that all women can benefit good health.
Professor Deb Loxton says the oldest participant is 101 years old and is among about 600 women from the cohort born between 1921 and 1926.
Those women were just sort of reaching that retirement age back in 1996, and it's that time of transition from a working life or a family life into the retirement space, and then tracking them into very old age. So they are one of the oldest cohorts in the world when it comes to investigating women's health. Then in 2012 to 13, we recruited in a new cohort of women aged 18 to 23 to capture the next generation. So we have four generations of women who participate in the study.
Professor Loxton says the insights gathered by the study have been used to develop a diverse range of policies, including the Australian Government's current National Women's Health Strategy, which outlines an approach to improving the health of women and girls and to reducing inequities between different groups. She says the study has also helped shape the National Action Plan for Endometriosis, International Guidelines for the Management of Polycystic Ovary Syndrome, and the National Perinatal Mental Health Guidelines, among others.
The Australian Government's Physical Activity Guidelines were formed using information that's come from the study. Also, the New South Wales Health Framework for Women's Health was developed using data from the study. And in addition to that, we've also informed other policies, like the National Plan to Reduce Violence Against Women and Their Children, the one that's been in effect and the one that will take effect at the end of this year.
But Dr. Adele Modolo from the Multicultural Centre for Women's Health in Melbourne says the study has two major limitations.
The surveys have been administered in English. So it really has only targeted those women, even if they are from migrant backgrounds, but those women who have the English language literacy to complete quite a complex survey in the English language. The second thing is that it is based on Medicare records. So it really only can survey or include women in the survey who have Medicare eligibility, and that excludes the many millions of temporary migrants that are here in Australia and who don't have Medicare eligibility.
Professor Loxton says study participants can use interpreters if they need assistance with English, and she says the Medicare eligibility issue is something she's keen to address.
We have actually had a couple of conversations about setting up an alternate study for women who don't yet have a Medicare card, because we do recognise that as a limitation of our study. But unfortunately, this has been part of the procedure of this study to validate women into the cohort, is to have that Medicare card. So one of the reasons for that is because part of our data actually come from Medicare. So we link the survey data with Medicare data in order to assess women's use of health services in relation to their health and well-being, and we do recognise that as a limitation of the study.
Dr. Mandolo says there are inequities embedded in Australia's healthcare system which have an impact on migrant women's health.
It's important to recognise that migrants come to Australia with really good health. It's called the healthy migrant effect. But migrants do experience a decrease in their health status after the first 5 years of living and working in Australia. So that means that there's something that goes beyond the individual's biology or the individual's culture, and really points to the health system itself not providing the kind of care that is needed. So I think that would also be something really important to be able to pick up through the survey, the extent to which migrant and refugee women are experiencing inequity or poorer health care in the health system.
Greg Dyatt, SBS News.